saying here, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah. And we know in the Bible, as when Jesus says that society would be as in the days of Noah when he came back, when he comes back. In other words, life would be going on as usual. It would be going on in its same way, the same way they would be carrying on in the same way without a knowledge that judgment is about to come upon them. That's when the flood came suddenly, and they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, going about their lives in a routine way, not hearing the word preached by Noah of coming out from the world, being separated from the world. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it is in this time. There were also false prophets, of false teachers that were not giving the message of God, that didn't hear the word of God. And I think the biggest problem is the church today. So we will look at the 22nd chapter of Isaiah, and I've read that in its entirety once before. I'm going to kind of go do the first few verses this morning and break them up to show you that he had came back, and here was, it's not an eschatological order, but here he came back to speak of the judgment that was going to come up on his people, that was going to come up on Jerusalem, and it's the Valley of Vision. They call it the Valley of Vision. What the prophet saw concerning the judgment that was to come up on Jerusalem, because a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching on this same message, I was saying that I think it came from Luke, trying to think of where it came from. In the 19th chapter of Luke, the 42nd verse, it says, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day and day, the things which belonged unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave a stone upon a stone, because thou knewest not the time of the day of thine visitation." So here it was, the people were ignorant of God, and in the last days they'll be ignorant of God, or their eyes closed or whatever. Now in his commission, when he was commissioned in the 6th verse of the first, I think it was the 6th chapter of Isaiah, when we've seen that commissioning of Isaiah, well, it was in the 1st chapter or not. But he said that he would go, but God had told him that the people would have eyes to see, but wouldn't see. They would have ears to hear, but wouldn't hear. And they wouldn't understand. They would lack the understanding because they would be in the darkness. God wouldn't have been converted them. They wouldn't have heard the message through a trusting of God. And we know in the latter days it's called hearing the word of faith, the faith, which is a saving faith. They wouldn't be able to hear because of a lack of preaching. And in the latter days, there would be a famine in the land, and it would be a famine of hearing the word of God. And we know from the church in Revelation that there were churches, but they were kind of under God's condemnation unless they would repent, because they had went astray. They could maybe hear a murmur of some of God's word because he was calling them to repentance. So they were doing some of what God says, but doing some of what God's saying and disobeying in other areas or not having an opening of the understanding is still to be lost. And that's the problem with a lot of church members today. They're in this valley of vision where only a few people are seeing and coming to enlightenment, but those that can't see won't admit that they can't see. they are like the Pharisees. They are religious people and believe it in God. But they won't say, well, okay, can you explain that to me? They won't pray to God for a proper understanding. They're proud and high-minded. And they're like the Laodicean churches, think they have no need of anything, that they have it, you know. I have people like that, and I know it's a lot of people in the world, and that's why I mourn for the world today, mourn and sighing for the world and for your relatives and people within the church, good people, but there's none good but God, but they're good. In other words, God has goodness in them, but it's not a goodness unto salvation because they can't see themselves. They don't examine themselves. And so they're not led out of the darkness. The truth is what makes them free, but they have a fear of man. They hadn't thirsted and hungered for righteousness, and God hadn't removed the scales from their eyes. So he says, the burden of the valley of vision, what aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops, thou that are full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. So what's killing the people or the thing that's deadliest to the people, it's not the weapons of warfare. It's not anything that Satan or enemy is doing to them. It's something that they're doing to themselves. They are in a rejoicing spirit. They are enjoying themselves. They're going about it as everything is all right, not realizing that they're being led to the slaughter, not realizing the destruction that's to come, the judgment that they were in the midst of that was being brought about, and that they should have been in mourning then. And they should, it was a time for them to be mourning and contemplating. In other words, examining and making a correlation as to what was going to happen, because they didn't realize the day of visitation, in other words, the day of the Lord was upon them, or was about to be upon them. So they were like the people of Noah's day. They were going shopping and living a regular life. But they didn't have an ear to hear what God was saying. It said, all the rulers fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together and have fled afar. So this is a reference to the leaders that was for after the time of Hezekiah, because it was two of Hezekiah's grandsons that was talked about here. Josiah's sons of Jeconiah, some during that time or whatever, but this prophecy seems as though it's going to be fulfilled after the time of Hezekiah. We know in the beginning of Hezekiah's life, he greatly trusted in the Lord and had the people to turn to the Lord. He started back the Passover feast or whatever. But the Passover, partaking of the Passover, that could have been the crippling problem of the people, because they had partaking of the Lord's table, but still they were partaking of the tables of devils. Their lives wasn't being brought to God. In other words, their lives wasn't sacrificed. They were going about making merriment in their fear of man instead of a fear of God. And so the leadership at that time was as the leadership today. The people of God today, the true people of God, they're mourning and they're sighing. They see the destruction that's coming upon this nation. A lot of people were rejoicing about the new administration that was coming in, that's coming in or whatever. But if doom has been prophesied, in other words, if doom is coming upon the people, no matter what you can do, that doom has to happen. That doom comes about. So God had told Hezekiah that everything he had, because of his pride and his lack of trusting God in his latter life, that all he had was going to be carried away to Babylon. Well, Hezekiah had a righteous son that was born. He had a son, a grandson or whatever, that was born later on. But Manasseh, his son that he had in the interim of asking God to extend his life to 15 years, had placed the people in such a condition. He had placed the people in such a condition that God was going to take out what the leadership had done on the rest of the nation. The judgment was going to fall on the rest of the nation. Manasseh had a son that was Josiah, and Josiah did right before the Lord or whatever, but the judgment had been pronounced on the people, and it was Josiah that found the books in the repairing of the temple and repairing the Lord's place, that he found the book of the law and seen that destruction when he sent the book to Huldah, one of the prophets. She said that God was about to destroy the people. And in that destruction, Josiah tried to forego it, and he had the people to turn toward God or whatever. And it was as it is today. It's like the Republican Party and some people within different parties looking at religion. A man-made turning toward religion is the answer.
Yes.
Who you putting on the Supreme Court and the laws you enact. In other words, a legalistic approach. But God had already issued the words of condemnation, and Josiah was killed in the interim because being a good man is not at all. You have to listen at God. It's God was speaking even through wicked Pharaoh, and at the Battle of Carchemish. I think it was Pharaoh Necho had told Josiah not to intervene because he was intervening for Babylon, because they was about Egypt was about to go to war for Assyria, but God had told Assyria to go to war with Egypt, and Josiah intervened in the interim and was killed.
Mm-hmm.
But being good, and it's a lot of people within the church that attempt to do good things or whatever, but they don't have the knowledge or the understanding of God. They hadn't been appointed to do the things God wants them to do or whatever. And so the things that they're doing are out of pride. It's out of their own pride and self-centeredness that they build or do. Now, we don't know when it came about. If we would go down to the 15th verse where it says, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast shewn thee out of sepulchre here as he that heweth him out of sepulchre on high, and that graveth an inhabitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of the Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thine station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass that in that day I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thine robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thine government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah, as a key to the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house." So here, Eliakim was going to be a type of Christ. If you would go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, I think the 6th verse about, it's a type of Christ where the keys of David is laid up on his shoulders for him to open and no man close or whatever. And that's what we should be, types of Christ, that God's in the process of promoting the children of God, placing them where they should be in this end time. We see in the book of Daniel, where the stone that smote the image, in other words, the image of this world's government, of this world's people, that God raised up a people that he anchored surely into the house of God, and the whole earth, the whole mountain in that vision became the kingdom of God. So God's in the process of establishing his people, the Eliakims, the types of Christ. He's fastening them in a sure place. But the false prophets, if you go to First Kings 20 and 20, and Second Kings 18 and 18, I think it is, you'll see Second Kings 20 and 20, and First Kings 18 and 18. You'll see where Shebna was mentioned or whatever. So it's a lot of people that's in the church or in politics or in place that they're self-centered, just like our president or whatever. They're working on personal things. The people within the Republican Party here in Louisiana or throughout the nation, you can see that they think that they are religious. In other words, they're Pharisees. They're people that think they're doing God a favor and following God, but they are blinded. They are blinded to God. They cannot see. So they're rejoicing in promise that can't be fulfilled, preaching and teaching out of the word of God, but lacking understanding. They have the Laodicean. They have need of eyesight so that they can see. They can't understand. So he said he was going to demote this Shebna, where there's a lot of people being taken down, just like Mayor Rudy Giuliani was a very popular mayor and a respectable person in some circles at a time. But you can see he's been taken down to the position of a buffoon. He's when a righteous man leaves his righteousness and not do righteousness, but promotes and follows a lie of falsehood and have a fear of man, then God does him as he did Shebna, as he did does do the rest of the people within this nation that's not following God and have the people following them. That's the blind leading the blind. Okay. So in a lot of households, there were men that may be replaced by women, or maybe like he told Job in the book of Job, or Samson, when he says that if you're not doing the word of God or you're not following God, that he'll take your family, he'll take your wife away, and another would marry her, another would do for her because you're not a man of God. You're not doing what God had purposed you to do. Now, the other person, now, the reason I say another man or whatever, but there's some single households or whatever where women is running their own house or whatever, they're not married or whatever. But if God's going to move a person that's not following God but have a false profession of God or whatever, the spouse has to be doing the right thing. You know, if the woman's not doing the right thing or she's not saved, they both shall be lost or whatever. But God's going to promote those that should be promoted. If you're doing the things, or if you're being strengthened in the Lord, and he have those that he's preparing at this time, just like during the times of Noah, those eight souls that was Noah and his sons and his daughters-in-laws, they were doing the right thing to get ready to escape the flood. As with the five wise and the five foolish, they were doing the right things to escape a marriage to the groom when he come back. They kept putting oil in their lamps. They were being prepared, but the five foolish were not. They thought that they were members of the bride party or whatever. They was, but they hadn't fulfilled the conditional promises of continuing in the groom's will or the groom's desire, whatever. They wasn't being prepared. There's a lot of people in the church now. Satan has blinded their eyes. Satan's ministers has blinded their eyes, and they're walking in darkness and not taking heed to the truth or whatever. And that's why Jesus had came into the world. It was for judgment that he had come into the world. But like I say, and I you have different people in the church nowadays, relatives and things, that are Pharisees that will be lost or whatever, and that you can try to give them the word of God, but it's whether they're accepting it or not. We see in the book of John where they answered and said unto him, this man was born blind. Thou was altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Jesus had heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he had said unto him, doest thou believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, so that I might believe upon him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen, and is he that talketh with thee? And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. See, the religious people today, and that's why I have a habit of having a preacher teach. I say, well, do you understand that or do you see it? A lot of times, Sister Harris or some people would say, well, no, I don't see it. I don't understand this. Well, you can kind of understand or know the ones that see or hear or don't understand it. They'll either tell you or they'll go back like the Berean and study the scriptures. But then when somebody trying to explain it to you or say they see or whatever and doesn't actually see, God sends more blindness upon them because due to their pride and their arrogance, they don't say, well, look, I don't understand that. Let me go back and pray about that. Let me study this or whatever. I don't get it. And that's what the Pharisees were saying. Are you calling us blind? We're the religious leaders or whatever. And he says, no, because you say you see, because you say you understand. He says, your sin remaining, and they will go in the further blindness. Jesus started talking to them in parables. Jesus started talking to them in such a way that they couldn't look into themselves and say, you know what? I don't understand this. Everything I do is wrong. Instead of being honest with themselves, he turned them over to a reprobate mind till they couldn't even see their blindness. They couldn't even see the darkness they were walking in. Because a lot of us think religion is easy, and we don't sit down sometime and contemplate. In other words, seriously think, meditate on the word. And these are things that we really can't do without God. That's what I say. Some things we can physically do working, tempting to do good, but God's not in them. And if you do something and God's not in it, you labor in vain. Hezekiah, if we look in here, let me not get too far away from that, though, before I go here. In other words, the Pharisees was looking at it from a religious perspective, and they had the scriptures, and they were seeing the scriptures, but they didn't have a spiritual enlightenment. So they drove this blind man. They put him physically out of the temple. They put him physically away because each time they was trying to confront him with what he didn't see or what Jesus didn't do, and he was honest the whole time in saying what Jesus had done for him and that Jesus had gave him sight. And a lot of times, a lot of us, if God giving us sight, he might give you sight within your family, within your household or whatever. Well, you have to stand for God and tell people what you see and stand up on that, and God will give you more light. He'll give you more openness of vision. But it's a lot of people that back down from their spouses, their children, their employers, employees, or whatever God has them against, and fearing that instead of fearing the Lord and being led by the Spirit of the Lord, and they fall further into bondage. They fall further into bondage because they're not following the truth. So right now, all of these people that are following the president in his lies and falsehoods are going further in darkness, and it's because they love darkness and they have a fear of man. They have some great conspiracy theory about fraud and voter irregularities and vote fixing, but no evidence or no proof of that. So that's a faith in faith. That's a faith that the devils have that say even the devils believe in trembling. So they believe in their idol. And an idol blinds us, and most people are blinded because of following this leader, of following the president. They hadn't gotten away from him when his words proved false. That's what happens in families and things when a wife doesn't realize that the husband don't know what he's talking about, that you submit to him in God, but God has to move him, he has to destroy him, or something has to happen here. Or the husband realized that the wife is blind and her ways of working could get him destroyed by God. So you have to ask God. That's why it says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. Because now that I see that my enemies are those within my own household and I can't be free in God, I don't have the liberty in God. That's when you pray into God and pleading to God because of the problems and things you're facing, and only God can get you out of those problems. But it's a lot of people think that they can handle those problems themselves, and they remain in bondage because of their tolerance of compromising with people having the fear of man, having the fear of losing a spouse, losing a child, or losing someone. Sometimes divorce is the best answer. It's the best answer. Sometimes losing that child or that parent or whatever is the best answer. We may not want to make that sacrifice. We may not want to give it up. It then, you know, they'll use the word, some people say, well, no, see, God's against divorce or whatever. God's against these things. We know, but you don't live in a perfect world, so you're not lining up. And sometimes people stay in those relationships and stay where they shouldn't stay. And they end up killing that person. You have domestic violence then because of a situation they should have left. Yes. Having children or trying to have a family or something, they end up abusing or killing those children. It may have been better for you to put that child up for adoption or something else instead of get to the point where you wasn't honest with yourself. That you wasn't religious enough to follow God and depend upon God to help you rear that child, that God wasn't in your life or whatever, to help you rear that child or bring that child into subjection or whatever. Now, you didn't act it within yourself or whatever, abused and killed that child. You was on that job or whatever, and instead of following, working as you're working unto God, you work unto man, trying to please man or trying to please your friends or not saying or giving what. Sometimes when God, when the Spirit gets up on us, being Spirit led, you can say some bold things, but you can rub people the wrong way or whatever. But here Shebna was trying to, God, it says, hew out your supporter. In other words, make a name for yourself. At one time, the president was saying, well, they should put his picture up, they put his face up on Mount Rushmore. It's all about him. It's all about making a name for himself. It's all about they cheated on him. It's all about what he's done. He's losing in all the courts or whatever, but it's all about him, not about the people of the nation. Forget that we're losing thousands by day, thousands, 11,000, 10,000. Every minute someone's dying, they say, so many people in America, the virus is running rampant. He's over there crying like a baby. They cheated on me. It's fraud, the rape they got. Okay, so you want to rule over people that God had given you the opportunity to rule over you. Now they have rejected you. It is God that put it up and put it down, but you want to stay and rule over people that has rejected you. Yes. So that's what happened to Shebna. God says he was going to remove them. God exalted and God debases. God set it up and he tear it down. So Shebna lost his position just as our president had lost his position or whatever. And God set someone else in that position or whatever. That was a type of Christ, was a type of shadow what he wanted him to do. Because as the Pharisees diminished and the Pharisees was antagonistic against Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ therefore began to speak to them in parables whereby they couldn't understand the word of God. Darkness came upon them, and those that were following the blind and led by the blind, they were all falling in the ditch. These people in this day and time, we know that judgment has to come up on a nation such as this for the things that has transpired in the nation, that it needs to be judged. We have a nation that's given to satiety. We read that earlier verse from Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, in the 49th verse, I think it was, about satiety. In other words, they was given to luxury. They was given to partying and doing certain things. And here in this nation, it's the same way. The president didn't want to shut it down. Whereas if we'd have shut down for maybe 3 months or so, this virus wouldn't be the way it was. We could have eradicated this thing. But as in, it says the 49th verse, behold, this was the iniquity of thine sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. He removed them from his sight, just like when a nation or people forget God. But it was showing the thousands and thousands upon people that was waiting 4, 5, 12 hours in line to get a Thanksgiving basket, to get food. How many people are out of food in this nation? But also they were showing the different people that had more food. That's why I don't like Thanksgiving and holidays or whatever, because they have more food and waste more food, throw away more food that can feed a nation of people. How many of those, even the, and you have to look at the poor people being judged at that same time also, because a lot of those same people was in this line getting a turkey and some was in that line getting a turkey. And they go back and they go to 2 or 3 different places. They have so many turkeys, they more than enough. I'm not saying all of them. And then they looked at the type vehicles was in the line. I've seen Mercedes and all kinds of nice vehicles in those lines to get food. Maybe the prep time wasn't there. In other words, not saying that they hadn't fallen on hard times because of the car they was driving or whatever. But it used to be a rule of thumb that if when you working that you put in the savings at least 6 months wages in case something happens. Well, we're not a nation that saves anymore. We're not a nation that prepares. And that's what I say. That's what the kingdom of heaven is, God's people preparing a prepared people. And that's what heaven is for, prepared people. Well, if these people were living, they live above their means, so they're so taken with material goods. They're taken with material goods and everything. And I think I heard it on the ABC Evening News yesterday where I think 14 or 15 billion dollars they spent on Black Friday online shopping or whatever. So you have half the nation that's starving, half the nation that's being evicted, and jobs and layoffs and everything concurring. And then you have the other half living in satiety, living in overabundance and pleasure. Like I said, if the president was smart, he was a true leader, we'd have clamped down like some of the other nations did. But these people say we can't go 6 months or we can't go 2 months. It's been 3 weeks or something. You have to open up the bars. You have to open up the restaurants. We can't cook at home. We can't eat at home. We must eat out or something. So in other words, these pleasures, you jeopardizing others' lives and your life, of people with this mindset is what Isaiah was looking at. And he was, if you look at the 22nd chapter, you'll see where he was weeping for the people. He said, verse 4, therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble and of threading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls of crying to the mountains. It shall come to pass that their choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and horsemen shall set themselves in array. So the prophet was weeping, and you see it in Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, that the prophet saw that this was God's judgment coming on the people. He saw the destruction of relatives of different people, that this was the day of God's visitation, and his eyes was just full of tears, and he was weeping. And that's what God's people are now. God's afflicting them, and instead of their being afflicted in mourning, they are trying to pull themselves up with their own bootstraps, not keeping God in it, trying to work themselves through here instead of allowing the Spirit to work themselves. They're doing it on their own, of their own ability, leaving God out of the equation. So when you leave God out of the equation, the true people of God right now, they're not rejoicing in all this. They have a peace and a joy, but they understand what's coming up on the nation, what has to come up on this people, that this is this far away from God, that they're not being led by the Spirit of God. And they see the destruction that must come because they understand the Word of God. And that's what the whole Word of God is about. Keeping down to the 9th verse, it says, this 8th verse, I'm sorry. And he discovered the covering of, and he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the Pharisee. In other words, their covering has been removed. In other words, God's defense of you has been taken away. God removes that hedge. But the people start looking to the military. That's where the military, that's where the reserve officers was in the forest. And that, if you go to the book of Kings, it says the breaches were that you look to the forest of the armor of the house of the forest. This was a city, a place that David had built for armory. And they looked into that, just like, you don't hear much about the wall that the president was saying being built or whatever, but he's taking money from allocation of money from different resources, and he's kind of like burning the house down on his way out. The people are not aware of the decisions and the judgments that he's making and the executive orders that he's making. But he's destroying them and their livelihoods and the things to come. But since it's their idol, it's like the man that loves his wife so much, he can't see that she was his ultimate destruction because he loved her more than he loved God. He loved himself. He loved his children. All those idols, the idol causes you to be blind. You're eating from the wrong table. You're trying to eat from both tables. God won't allow you to do that, but you think you can do it and overcome God. He says, and ye, verse 9, ye have seen also the breaches of the day of the city of David, that they are many, and ye gather together the waters of the lower pool, and you have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses you have broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respected him unto him that fashioned it long ago. Hezekiah went out to probably the same pool that Ahaz was looking at when Isaiah came to him and he had rejected the peaceful waters of Siloam for the waters of Assyria, for the Potiphar, those two rivers. I didn't forget at this time the name of those two rivers, but he had rejected the peaceful quietness that God offered. And that has something to do with his prophecy, I think, because Hezekiah, during his time, he made a tunnel in the city when he knew he was going to war, and the two groups of people worked from one end to another end, and they met in the middle, tunneling through to bring fresh water into the city. So when the city was surrounded or whatever, they had a water supply. Because when a siege come, you're blocked in, food or anything can't get in, but they had a fresh water supply because of this tunneling. But they're looking at their ingenuity. They're looking at their smartness. They're looking at their intellect and not the God, that the maker, the God that gave them that intellect, the God that fashioned that intellect. Like, people are looking for that vaccine to come out against this COVID. And they call it Operation Warp Speed, where within a year's time, they've created this vaccine to counter this COVID.
Yes.
But instead of looking to God, this could be some of the worst things that happened, to depend upon the very thing that the president is rejecting is what's creating the virus. He's rejected science, and science has created, God has given science the knowledge to create the virus. But he says he's following his gut, and that's the reason we're in the situation we're in, is the, of his gut, and he's not listening to Dr. Fauci or the scientists or whatever. But now he's saying this miracle vaccine is going to help him out, but even the scientists and the doctors are still saying, but still, you would need to learn obedience. Even though you get this vaccine and everything, you still will need to wear the mask. You still will need the social distance. But man will do anything instead of sacrificing. He's worried about his liberty and his freedom, all the while with man's word and other men making them slaves or bringing them into bondage, promising them freedom because of a lack of understanding. That's why I say, unless God open up their understanding, they can't understand what's going on around them. So things are going on today, and people are saying things, and we're not understanding what they're saying, and we can't see it. Only God's people can see at this time. This is the time when Amos was talking about the people groping in midday. In other words, it's like they're operating in darkness, and the sun's out. It's midday. That's because they can't see. They are in this world. They're in blindness. They're in darkness. And Isaiah seeing this, the people of God seeing this, and you can't get it through to them because they can't hear. It's like Helen Keller. They couldn't speak. They couldn't hear. It's getting through. How do I get through to this person? This is something only God can do. Only God can open up understanding. It's only God can give sight to the blind. They had rejected this blind man that trusted and believed in Jesus Christ. They had threw him out and had said that they would throw the parents out if the parents would acknowledge and testify of Jesus. That's why the parents said he be of age. Ask him who did this. Because they didn't want to get cast out of the synagogue. So you have religion and the government tied together, and that's the greatest thing. That's the danger that the people of God see now, that Satan is running most churches. The mega churches and the churches, religion has become apostatized. They have moved away from the right standing in God, the uprightness. It says in verse 12. And in that day the Lord of God of hosts called to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. Right now, instead of people staying home and weeping and mourning and fearing and turning to God, more people travel this holiday than last holiday. They say, don't travel, don't congregate, don't meet together, skip this Thanksgiving. But more people travel with places and doing things. So they're doing the ups and God's calling them first through physically. See, that's why I say the spiritual is beyond. If you can strain past the physical and see into the spiritual realm, you can see, but they can't even see. They're blind, so they can't see physically, so there's no way that spiritual sight can come. Spiritual blindness is behind secular light. In other words, you have to be able to see. If you don't understand earthly things, how in the world do you think you're going to understand heavenly or spiritual things? If you can't understand here on earth the things that are in this realm, how are you going to understand the things of God? No way. It's not possible. So I say you have to strain to get a vision. You have to be able to see beyond the horizon. That's where the borders of God is. It's to be able to see in you sitting in heavenly places. But not if you're operating in the physical, because those things are imitated to God. He's not going to share it with you. That's why the Pharisees remained blind, because they didn't have the love of the truth. No matter how much you say something, that doesn't make it so just because you're seeing. Just because you say you see, that doesn't mean you see. That means you might be in further darkness. That's what one of the judges told the president and his lawyer, say, just because y'all say that voter fraud happened or this happened, that doesn't make it so. Where's your evidence? Where's your proof that this is happening? We need some merit to merit me listening at that. And it doesn't merit us listening, because these people are walking by blind faith. That's why when we're talking about the faith that saves, the faith in the book of Jude says, contend for the faith, because there are men of old entered in to this condemnation. In other words, they're religious. There are other people that's leading you away. They have a faith, but it's not the faith. We have to contend for the faith that was delivered, once delivered unto the saints. So he says, he had called for mourning and baldness and weeping and girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine, saying, let us eat, drink, and tomorrow, for tomorrow we shall die. We can't stop football. Okay, done. They didn't cancel the Ravens Steelers game. It's canceling all these different games because of COVID. That you're spreading the virus because you can't cease your pleasures for a week. You can't cease your pleasures for 2 or 3 months, 5 or 6 months or whatever. The Supreme Court said that the government was biased and that you can't do this for religious houses and not opening up the churches and things, because that's discrimination against religion when you say they shouldn't meet. Why not let them meet? Let all the churches meet. Let them have as many people in there, because those that are the ones that need to be getting out of the way. Those are the ones that God says, gather all of these tares into his barn, into this place to be burned. So the religious, those religious people, those people that are wanting to do this worship, going to these mega things, let that go on and happen. Maybe after you clear the church of the money changers, maybe after then, as Jesus cleared the church of the money changers, then those who truly want to worship God, that are left, can worship God, the house of the Lord will continue on.
Amen.
So they get a legal avenue. That's why I say this is very dangerous when religion becomes what it is. So let them meet this and let them work it the way they want to do. And they could say, I fed the needy, we prophesied, we heal. And then Jesus could say, you know what? I never knew you. I never knew you. He says in the 14th verse, he says, the 15th verse, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go get thee unto the treasurer. And I skipped this. Okay, like I say in the 14th verse, I skipped this. 14. He says, and it was revealed in my ears by the Lord of hosts, saying, Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, said the Lord of hosts. You will die in your sins. You shall die this iniquity because that's whom you are. You're party goers. You're living for pleasure. You're not listening. It's not achieving its desired purpose. The work of the word of God has no effect in your life. You're not a doer of the word of God, so you can't be sanctified. So in verse 14, he closes out, says, this iniquity, it would reveal unto me that this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die. So that's why I say there are going to be those that die because of not taking heed to the word of God, not being born again, not receiving of his grace, but continuing in the world. So in this valley of vision, only some of us can see and begin to see more clearly. And those that is God gives sight to, those that that hear the word and that he opens up to understanding that they may understand the scriptures and that they depart from iniquity and come out from among the world and being separated. So that's the word the prophet's bringing there. And then he would do as he said to Eliakim. He'll establish his people. He'll establish that remnant. They'll multiply. They'll grow. And that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that would be upon it shall be cut off. The Lord has spoken. He's going remove the evildoers, the one he told you, fret not thyself from evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. They're going to be removed. But to the Eliakims, he's going to fasten them, and they shall hang up on him, on those types of Christ, those the salt of the earth, those that are bold from God, those that are waxed strong in the Lord, doing great exploits through his word by his spirit. The Lord of hosts, his spirit shall perform these. They shall fast and hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups, even to all vessels of flagons. All things great is going to be upon the children of God, those that he decides to remove the others and replace with these, the good stewards. That unfaithful steward, he's going to cast in the outer darkness. Those that was once over the household, those that was once over the churches, those that were once in a place where they didn't follow it, just like he told the children of Israel. Forget not the Lord thy God when you come into the land, or else I'll do the same thing to those to you that I did to the ones that were cast out. So here we are. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your